life. Well, this morning I want us to look at life is not giving up. Life is not giving up. You know, the burdens of life itself, just your existence, sometimes can feel like a whole mountain caving in on you. And the pain or the aches of life, the heartbrokenness of life, and you're just so overwhelmed that you just want to give up. Many people do. You all hear me hit the suicide rate all the time. All you got to do is pay attention to the news. And I tell you, anyone here, anyone that's listening, anyone that is watching this morning, don't do it, because there's a tomorrow for you. There's a next minute for you. And it is amazing how God can change situations very quickly, like a twinkling of an eye. And the Lord looks into the heart of man, and the Lord sees that man from the beginning has wanted to rebel against him. And the whole story that we sing, the whole story we teach in Sunday school, the whole story that your pastor preaches continually is that God had an answer. And his answer has been the answer before time began. And his name, the answer's name, is Jesus. And he said, I'm going to go down, and Father, I am going to feel the pain of your creation, and I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on into each heart, into each one of your individual created humans. I want you to feel them. God says, that's what I want to do. I want to feel your pain. Did he not say that? Did he not show us that when he watched his son go to that cross to take your sins, my sins, to the cross? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. This is not a preacher that you have here that's going to beat around the bush and say, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. You've got to be this way and you've got to be that way. Folks, I can't do that, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells me that whoever believes in Jesus shall not fall under condemnation. Well, there has to be a change. Do we not realize that inviting Jesus into your heart is the change? Do we not realize that you and I do not know the heart of our fellow man? We barely know our own heart. We barely know our own mind. But God said, I know you. Trust me, and I will lead you in the right direction. I will allow you to be my child. Oh, it just amazes me reading scripture and to find out. Jesus says that if my Father in heaven loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. You think of that. God set it up to where we would be such close family that Jesus says, my Father loves you just as much as he loves me. That's a lot of love. That's a lot of good feeling there. But God says you've got to go through the storms of life. You have to be aware that the life that you're living is just for a short period of time. Now, I do not understand why we're going through what we're going through in life. And I'm talking about life itself. Because you would think, you know, we belong to the Lord, and once I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then all my problems would disappear. I would be friends with everyone. Everybody would love me. And Brother Randy, there's people out there that don't love me. And there's a few that don't love you.
What?
Yeah. And that's the way real life is, isn't it? So who do you please? Is it not right that you shall seek into your heart the love from your Father who's given us life and all the problems and turmoils that we're caught up in? He said it's just for a brief time. I always look at it as boot camp. Life itself is a boot camp for heaven that's to come. But we continue to work for the Lord throughout eternity. But remember this. We are the only creation of God. The only creation of God that has a choice to choose Christ or to reject Him. All the rest of creation, they don't have the freedom of choice. You and I do. And God said, I want you to pay attention because I want you to choose wisely. I want you to choose to let me in your heart. When I come in your heart, I will bring you peace. Peace in the middle of the trials and tribulations that you're going through. Life is not easy. And sometimes it hurts real bad, doesn't it? I mean, it's just so much pain and you're overwhelmed with it. And you say, Lord, I want to quit this thing called life. But there's a reason for it. I found over the years one of the greater reasons that I would live for the next day is for the people that I got to meet. People are awesome. They're awesome. Well, you're awesome. God says, I have made you in my image. When your pastor looks at you, I look at the image of God. I look at myself in the mirror anymore and I see the humor of God. As God looks into our heart and into our life, He says, I love you. But God says, I love you like you are. Everybody keeps trying to clean themselves up for the Lord. You can't do that. You're going to mess yourself up. You're going to use the wrong soap. You can't do that, folks. You got to let Him do the cleaning. That's the love that I'm talking about. Don't give up. Number one. Amen. I'll hear this later. Boy, it took you long enough to get to the first point. No, all I was saying was the first point. But tell God how you feel. You want to do this? You want to find out how not to give up? When you feel this way, number one, tell God how you feel. Now, listen to King David. Hey, he wasn't king at this time. Matter of fact, he'd been on the run for 10 years, hiding in the rocks and the caves, everybody out to kill him, and that's exactly what it felt like to him. Everybody was out to kill him, to get him. Psalm 143, verse 4, so I am ready, David says, to give up. I am in deep despair. I'm dying on the inside. Lord, I feel you. I know you. As a matter of fact, God says He was a man after His own heart. And here God's man is hiding in the caves and in the rocks, running, someone out to kill him continually. And he keeps on the move, keeps on the run. Listen to Lamentations 2:19 as the cry continues. Pour out your feelings to the Lord as you would pour water out of a jug. Now, each of us talk to one another about our different ailments and about our different situations so often. You'll find a trusted friend you'll share with. If you're blessed to have a trusted friend to share with, you share a little. But you find out something. That trusted friend has a cup that is full of. Their cup's full. Your cup's full. Everybody's cup is full of pain and hurt and problems and trials and situations in life. And when that cup is full and we're sharing with another, I feel your pain, but I don't know how to help you. I can't. I'll be there when you tell me you need it, but I don't know how. If I knew how, I'd fix myself. So what do? We turn to the Lord. Oh, yeah. We turn to the Lord in prayer. And then all the hurting of the Lord, you say, well, you know, how many are, okay, let me tell you this, how many of God's people are hurting? Read the Bible. All the great names, whether it's David, whether it's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, praising God, great man of God, great prophet of God, and he was miserable. Every one of those leaders were miserable. They lived miserable lives. Well, prophet led miserable lives? Yeah. How'd you like to be Isaiah? The great preacher. And God says, Isaiah, I want you to go to Israel and I want you to preach naked for 3 years. Don't tell me that he didn't have trouble following that word. But you think of it. It's not the situation that you find yourself in. And in that bad situation, you say, God must not be for me. What have I done to deserve this? You will not read one hero of the scripture that led a great life as the world would see it. Always hurt, always pain, always despair, always hurt, always tears. Oh, man. You talk about tears, every prophet, Jeremiah, that I talked about, 26 to 28 years he preached, not one convert. That'll make a preacher cry. Not one person changed. And he was known as a weeping prophet. He cried all the time because he was broken and because he was being used by God. And God was expressing through his prophets his own feelings of love for you and me. I'll show you pain. I'll show you the one that you love, the preachers you love, the prophets you love, the teachers you love. I will show you their pain. And in showing you their pain, you will see how I hurt for you. And he says, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come to me and I will give you rest? Won't you come to me? I'll bring peace to you. Now, I will give you understanding, but you may not understand. You ponder that one. I will give you understanding, but you may not understand. Because that's life. Life is not you feeling in all the blanks or figuring out every circumstance and why that circumstance is taking place. My life is trusting Jesus. My hope is in him, not in me. My love is for you. My love is to carry through with making sure that you get the word from God, because every day you're going to need it to make it. Just as soon as you get over one little hump, a mountain pops up and you seem to get knocked down again and again And again, majority of it we bring on ourselves. And why we bring it on ourselves is because we're not trusting. Got to start trusting, folks. We got to start trusting in the Lord. Trusting that whatever's going on with us, there's a better day to come. But you're not going to see that day if you quit. If you just quit. Listen to me. Your pastor knows about the desire to quit and give up. You know, why? Why keep going through the pain? Why keep going through this? Why keep going through that? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord said to. It was my boot camp drill instructor said, suck it up, Marine. But the Lord said, you stick it out and you don't quit. You stand up and you be counted. You find the peace that I will give you. You're looking for peace from the world. The world is not going to give you peace. The joy that you're going to have in your heart is going to have to be the type of joy that is so powerful that it's going to supersede all the troubles that you have in your life. Amen. Those trials and tribulations that you're running into, they're common. They're very common to man. The reason you get scared up for your children is because you remember when you were that age. And bad case of the stupids that you went through in life. You don't want them having them. But you see, you can't always be with them, as I've told you many times. But I know one who can. His name is Jesus. Number two, I want you to see God for who he really is. Now, you want to find out how not to quit. You see God for who he really is. Daniel 9, verse 4. Daniel's another one. You say, well, Daniel had it good. Really? Jail, thrown in with a lion. Good gracious. You know, you think by the time all of God's children got through with it from a lion's den to the fiery furnace, that God wouldn't have any children left. You know what the difference is? It was because of who God is. How awesome our God is. It was because of him the lions wouldn't touch him. The fiery furnace wouldn't burn him. That's because Jesus wasn't in control, not you. Now you start diving into the fiery furnaces that are around you without the call of God, you're going to have a few burn marks on what's left of you. Don't do that. You trust the Lord. Daniel 9, 4. O Lord, you are a great and an awesome God. Woo! You always fulfill your promises of unfailing love. Just because that I'm a jerk doesn't mean that my Savior is. And he loves grouches and jerks and everybody else that seems like they're out of their mind. He loves us. He cares for us. He reaches out to us. And he says, won't you calm? I'll give you peace. You always fulfill your promises of unfailing love to those who love you. Well, Brother Rennie, I think I have preached many times on the subject of love, haven't I? Yes. You see, you want to know the key commandment? Love. The key commandment is love. For in true love is true forgiveness, is true peace, is true understanding. You hug your hard-headed kids. You hug your hard-headed husband. You kiss your beautiful, sweet, loving wife. I couldn't help that. And you find that peace, don't you see? It's in love. That's the key. Do you love one another good enough to give them a chance to find that peace of unfailing love to those who love you and keep your commands. I've read the scripture to you many times. He said, a new command that I give to you. This command takes in all the commands, Jesus says. This is it, that you love one another as I have loved you. He said, I want you to practice my kind of love. My kind of love. And as you're practicing my kind of love, I want you to express it wholeheartedly. Number three, ask God for the next step. We're walking in a world, folks, that does not love you, Christian. This world hates Christianity. And a world that hates Christianity, you're not going to find a loving, peaceful invitation for life. No, it's not there. So what we do is ask God for the next step. Psalm 143, second part of verse 8. My prayers go up to you. Show me the way I should go. David stuck literally between a rock and a hard place, called a mountain, another rock. He stuck there. And he said, my prayers go up to you. Show me the way I should go. Folks, our life gets stuck that way, between that rock and the hard place. Just living does. And it seems like there's no hope. But when you cry out to the Lord, show me, give me the step, then trust him that he will give you strength for that step. But take the step that God tells you to take, not yourself. Find the peace and the joy. Psalm 142, verse 3. Now, listen to his heart here, David. When I am ready to give up, he knows what I should do. Your mind gets all jumbled. You're not thinking straight. You don't understand yourself anymore. You don't understand those around you, those you love. You don't understand them. Well, actually, you just don't understand anything. Do we not realize that that's a key to unlocking a door where God steps in? When you finally realize, I don't know what to do. Have you ever said that? I don't know what to do anymore. Ask God what your next step is. You've taken so many steps and they've normally led you into more trouble for taking those steps. That's called prayer. That's called talking to God. I'm not saying that, you got to get into a prayer meeting. Although those are great. But to get into a prayer meeting, I'm talking about as you're driving down the road, you talk to God. You let that mind be directed as what the Lord is wanting for your life. And those prayers, Lord, help me in this mess. I've told you all of those years that I was in the prison system and all that. I had my own prayer in my heart when I was walking down each one of those hallways at prison. I had a lot of prayer time during that time. When you spend that many years, you realize the only step that you're going to take needs to be the step that the Lord directs. Then you find peace. You'll find it in all sorts of ways. You'll find understanding. You'll find understanding from God. You'll find peace that only God can give. You can find joy in your heart, a joy that surpasses all understanding. Number four, It's your final one. Trust God for strength. Now, folks, and I'm not going against self-help books, but the best self-help book you'll ever find is the Holy Bible. This book right here is the best self-help book you will find. You know why I say that? Because as soon as you start reading it, you'll find out that you can't help yourself. That there's no such thing as self-help. I didn't have anything to do with creation. Believe it or not, I wasn't even born then. But I had absolutely nothing to do with creation. I have a creator who sent his son. He's done it all. Therefore, don't you think he doesn't know you? He knows why you think the way that you think. He knows why you feel the way that you feel. And he said, I want to give you peace. Read my word. Trust my word. Do you know the best self-help books that really I've seen that works are those that have the most scripture in them? Well, duh. Guess why they work? Because they use scripture. Now, I don't think you can say plagiarizing scripture because it's there for you to use, to quote. But that's how they sell their books. Buy you a good modern day translation of the Bible. Get in prayer. And I'm talking about getting into prayer. I'm talking about, Lord, give me direction this moment as I read the scripture. Now, the older you get, that's the reason you pray a prayer for this moment. Because it doesn't take you long till you start getting sleepy while you're reading it. But God will allow whatever words that you do read to penetrate that heart. And that's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. That's the peace that you're looking to find. Joy that surpasses all understanding. Psalm 28, first part of verse 7. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him and he helps me. Do you notice how that goes? I trust him and he helps me. It's on that one too. I trust him and he helps me. That's God's word. Trusting him, believing that he will do what needs to be done in your life. Now, I did not say that he will do what you want him to do in your life, but to do what is needed for your life. He's the doer of his word. He's not just a giver of his word. He follows through in his word. And when he follows through, you will see the miracles of life. You'll see the love that surpasses all understanding. You want peace? Give your heart to Christ. You want a love that you can't imagine? Give your heart to Christ. You want strength? Give your feebleness to Christ. David was sharp as a whip, smart, and a pretty tough fighter. But he couldn't fight the desire to give up and quit on his own. The world had caved in on this young man. His friends that he thought was friends were no longer his friends. He didn't know who to trust. Then the hand of God intervenes. You know why? David cried out in his hurt, just like Job did. Cried out in the middle of all the pain. Let me paraphrase this. I don't know what to do anymore. Does that sound familiar to you? I don't know what to do anymore. Help me, Lord. And that's exactly what the Lord did. The Lord reached down and crowned him king. Oh, he still was messed up. But he still was God's. I might be a mess, but I'm God's mess. Life, no, it's not fair. Life hurts. Life. If you wait to live it until you understand it, you'll never live it. Because you're not going to understand it. That's not your job. My job, your job, is to live it to the fullness. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we do not give up and quit. We do not give up and quit. What do I do, Pastor? I don't know. Only thing I can tell you is what the Scripture says. You don't have a right to quit. You have the freedom to choose Christ. You have a freedom to look to the heavens. And you're the only creation of God that is given that freedom. I'm a freedom-loving person. I'll die for freedom. I'll fight all the garbage in the world for freedom. But it's not because I was a Marine or am a Marine. It's because Jesus declared it so. I'm free through him. That's the word of God, and it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, giving you thanks, asking, dear Lord God, for your guidance, for your love. Give us peace now, dear Lord. Let your will be our will. Let us follow you in all that we do. As you give us peace, give us courage and boldness to stand strong in a vicious world. I ask now, Father, that as you strengthen each one of us, you will be with each family as we leave this morning. Father, I pray that you will touch each heart, that you will guide each soul, that you, dear Lord God, will direct each mind and each step that is taken in the week ahead. Father, bring peace, protection as we travel. In Jesus' name, amen.